The Beast Games. 1,000 contestants compete in physical, mental, and social challenges for a chance to win a $5 million cash prize. Hosted by Mr. Beast Jimmy Donaldson, a YouTube success story, a guy you might have heard of, this reality show is loosely based upon the hit Korean show Squid Games. And it's like watching a well-heeled car crash. It's vaguely disturbing, it's morally adrift, but it is hard to look away. That's coming up today on Rocket Pop Reviews.
Rocket Pop is going.
Welcome to Rocket Pop Reviews, giving Christian families a reliable source for reviews of movies, shows, books, and podcasts.
Every four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle function.
We're serious about the fun of entertainment.
Nice to be in orbit.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
And now your hosts, Steve Manuel and Jeff Davenport.
Jeff, as of our recording of this show and when you and I started saying we've got to review The Beast Games, it was number one on Amazon Prime's show. It was number one overall between all of its like series as well as movies. It was number one in about 150 countries, if I remember exactly. Here's the point, Jeff. People seem to be watching The Beast Games. Have you seen any of the Beast Games?
I saw some of the Beast Games. I think there's 10 episodes. I watched 1, 2, 3, and then I watched the final episode. But I think you watched the whole series. Is that correct?
I watched it all. I was so committed to giving a good review. And I'm going to start with craft, which is just like how the show is made, what we think of the quality of the show. I think I can say this. You certainly you agree with this. When it comes to craft, the money is on the screen.
Yes.
We're seeing an immense amount of money spent to produce this show. I think in the closing credits, they say that somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million was made was spent on just putting like the sets together and all the giveaway money, which, by the way, we say $5 million. There's more than that that's just given away all the time. They're just giving away gobs of stacks of money all the time in this show.
Can I interrupt on the money thing real quick? This is what drives me. This is what I don't understand about Beast. The YouTube channel, when I first heard about this, I thought the economics of this don't line up. There's no way the economics of this line up. And yet they do. He's making enough money off YouTube viewers to give away this money. And the same way on the show, I kept going, there's no way the economics of this line up.
Right.
There's no margins here. Obviously, there are.
Obviously, the eyeballs, people want to see this man giving away giant stacks of money. It's kind of jaw-dropping when you look at the sets that were built for this. I mean, they built an entire city, what they called a little city for this show. They gave away a private island as part of the show. It's impressive.
But describe the first episode, because to me, yes, the city was interesting. The island was interesting. But describe the first episode and that giant warehouse.
Yeah.
That to me was the most mind-blowing.
It was. I don't know about you, Jeff. I'm trying to think, where in Hollywood did they make this thing?
Hollywood is the answer. It's too expensive.
Imagine like an 8x8 area that you're standing on top of, which is maybe like an LED screen, and everybody's got like an iPad in front of them. And these things are at least 8 feet tall, because one of the little wahoo moments is that when people get off of the show, your floor opens up below you and you fall down into a tube underneath you.
Where does that tube? Did you think what I was thinking, which is what's down the, they act like it's a bottomless pit. You hear, clearly not. I'm wondering, is it just like, okay, there's like foam right underneath?
It's gotta be the foam squares at the trampoline park. Right?
Okay. But like 6 feet down or 10? Cause you gotta get all the way down there.
I mean, yeah, the people fall down, the girl's hair flies up, and there's plenty of blackness when they fall down. I don't know. They've gotta be pretty tall.
They knew it was interesting. They knew it was visually interesting, because every time you would get rid of somebody like that, they milked it. And yeah. every time I'm like, yeah, I just want to fall down.
I'm describing this 8x8 platform. Imagine 1,000 of those. We're in some kind of warehouse where there's 1,000 people. I can't honestly visually conceive of 1,000 people.
100 would have been amazing.
It would have been. It would have been incredibly expensive to make 100 of those. As I said, everybody has this iPad in front of them where they're responding to the prompts. They said that in the room, there were something like 1,200 cameras in the room.
Yes.
Just to try to record what's happening and get individual, you know, reaction shots, et cetera. Yeah, that room. And of course, there's a huge screen up on the side where everybody can kind of see, you know, the host or whatever. So yeah, from the outset, you're kind of going like, what is this? What are we looking at here? So it was pretty astounding. One of the things I want to say about Craft is that the gameplay, you know, this is a reality show. It's a competition game. It was alternately frustrating because there was a lot of, it felt like there was a lot of chance involved. Like you could be the smartest, greatest guy in the world and you just get removed from the game. So tough luck. That was kind of frustrating to see because you, in your mind, when you start a show like this, you're like, well, we're going to find out the best player at the end of this. Well, not necessarily, because there's a lot of chance. For instance, you see in the first episode, you've got a row and your row might have 20 people in it. And they would say, if anybody wants $10,000 right now, we'll just eliminate your whole row. And somebody presses a button, I'll take the $10,000. Your row's gone.
And it's not like you built up relationship at that point where it's just more like, oh, I was, what a bummer for me. I was in the row with Johnny who wanted the 10 grand to buy a new hat or something.
Yes. So some of the games are clever and interesting where you've got to pit, well, I want to take care of this person. And if I get rid of these two people, this person stays and, oh, what am I going to do? Those are kind of interesting, but there's a lot of luck-based stuff. There just weren't a lot of games where it was like, are you good at something? Then you can win. So I thought the gameplay was alternately clever, sometimes clever, more frustrating than anything.
Yeah. So again, you've got, this show is about 1,000 people competing to get to the end where you can win $5 million. So you're thinning out the herd throughout the episodes. And to me, those games were either banal, like, oh, okay, a little arbitrary. I think I'd put them in three categories. Oh, that's kind of interesting. I don't know. That's all right. The second category is, oh man, bribes. Like the bribes to me were very interesting.
Yes, I agree.
What's someone willing to give up in order to mess people? What do people want? And that means they're going to mess people over. Right. And then there were some games that I kind of paused and went, now that was clever. Like them coming up with that. Clearly these game nerds,
yeah,
they worked hard coming up with things that would make you go, now that's a good idea. That's a super clever idea. There was one where you have to follow this path on a floor. You have to memorize it. That one was really intriguing. And then some of them just felt like, you didn't quite cook this one long enough.
Yeah. Another thing about Craft, I'd be interested in your take on this. I'm not like a Mr. Beast guy. I don't think I've ever watched a Mr. Beast video. Sorry, YouTube fans. Jimmy's kind of a zero, and his hangers-on are even zeroer. There's very little there. He doesn't seem interesting to me. We know this about him. I do know this about him, YouTube-wise. He's devoted his entire life to just make videos that people want to see. That is the only interesting thing about him that I'm aware of. His main skill seems to be screaming about how this is the most important moment of your life.
He says that. And he actually says it.
There is so much money on the line. Maybe if you're 14 and you've never seen a reality show before, you're like, wow, exciting. If you've been around game shows, you're kind of like, I feel we've been there. I know this. So I don't think there's much of a draw by Jimmy, Mr. Beast. What do you think?
I agree. And so it's hard because we're older guys and we're looking at what is, I mean, this is genetically engineered to appeal to a 14-year-old boy.
Right.
We are not that.
You're right.
That said, Jimmy seems like the kind of guy who's the brains behind the operation, but shouldn't be the upfront guy. We are so used to, I mean, go down the list, Regis Philbin, who's our guy, Ryan Seacrest, anybody who could hype up on a game show or a reality show, Voice, any of these, American Idol, those guys are really good at milking the moment without seeming like they're an introvert who was pushed up to the front of the class and suddenly had to host the talent show at the high school. Right. Jimmy seems like, oh, the main guy got sick, and so I got to host this thing, but I organized it.
Right.
And so, you know, this is a long period of time where Jimmy's kind of learned to be up front and sort of pretend like he's...
You're right. It feels like on-the-job training for Jimmy to try to learn how to be a host in front of the camera.
Unpolished. Clearly unpolished. Now, the argument could be made, maybe that's some of his appeal, is that he's one of us. He's a guy... But he, you're right. It's a lot of yelling. At one point, he admits, like, oh, my voice is hoarse from just talking about this $5 million. And then the guys, maybe I'll at least give Jimmy a little grace here because he got thrust into this. Whatever. Yeah. There's something about he seems like a guy who just sort of got thrown on a camera that to me is kind of appealing. It's those other guys who are to a man, every man jack of them. Is a zero. They add nothing to it. They sort of act like, you know, possibly like, sorry, you're gonna, they never, mark my words, never say anything interesting at all.
That adds anything, yeah.
No, they're annoying.
They're clearly hangers on, God bless them.
Yes, and so maybe they do stuff behind the scenes that help make it happen, great. You gotta kick those guys to the curb. With that, you said in the intro, this show is also loosely based off the Squid Games, which is a Netflix fiction show about a Korean game show where people get killed and stuff. I haven't seen it, but I'm aware of it. They're definitely bringing this show is like a combo of a number of things. It's a combo of like, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's a combo of Survivor. It's a combo of all the Beast stuff that's online. And then it's a combo of the Squid Games thing. Isn't it disturbing? This is, I think, directly drawn from Squid Games. The guys who sort of do the behind the scenes stuff, but are on camera wearing the hoods with like these three silver lines across. What show is that from? Execute somebody? They look like the Knights of Ren.
It is very left field. Feels bizarre.
It does. Where this show is meant to be like, I don't know. I kept thinking this show doesn't quite know its tone.
Yeah. It's presented as if, okay, Mr. Beast is a guy who found $5 million and he thought it would be a great fun thing. What if I put on a show, my dream show of how I would give away this $5 million? Wouldn't it be fun if we did this and this? So it's kind of like, let's make it up. What if we made our own little city, et cetera? And then the executioners come out with it. Wait, what?
Kylo Ren giving away money.
That kind of bleeds into my last comment about craft, which is I find it, and I know that I'm bleeding into messaging a little bit here, but the overall effect of the show is it's strangely dehumanizing. Even at the bitter end of the show, they refer to themselves and to other players not as not with names, but with these huge numbers that are across their chest. I'm number 837. Well, I was trying to choose between 837 and 271, and it seemed like 271 had a kind of a likable quality. Really weird. Why are you doing this? Why are we doing this? We know we've been around these people now for 10 episodes.
We know their names too.
What are we doing?
Yeah. And by the way, we're not going to spoil the end if you're watching this. Like, we're not going to spoil how it ends. At the end, it's so belaboring because we know this person's name. We know their name. And so they'll sort of tweet, but you're going, okay, 742. How are you feel about 109? oh my gosh, you keep saying these numbers over and over again. We're already aware of their names. And it's funny, even the contestants will toggle back and forth between calling them by name and calling them by number. It was clear the producers are like, look, we've got a reason behind this. As much as you can, call them by number.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Can we go real quick before we move to messaging? Because I think you're right. This is a part of that. When it comes to craft, the design of this show is to get you to keep watching. That's it wants you to get from point A to point Z by the end. And I think we can agree when it comes to editing, when it comes to cliffhangers, with Amazon, you're going to get some commercials. This show, for better or for worse, was pretty darn good at getting you to at least something in you wants to stay with it. Do you agree?
Yes. It's like reading a Harry Potter book where at the end of every chapter, there's a new little aha, and you kind of go, well, can I read just like the first couple of paragraphs of the next chapter to just find out how this is what my kids were doing at the end of every episode, which is, well, just let's just watch 5 minutes of the next episode. So we just see how this one thing finished, you know? So yes, it's edited very well for what it does, you know, the music and the pacing and the whole thing. Sure. It's very, very well done. I would say
it's not just the end of the episode, because you're right. They don't end an episode at the end of a game. They end an episode really almost like the half point of a game, yeah, or three quarters. So you see the outcome. But even within an episode, there were many times I'm like, okay, I'll give this a little bit. And then I found myself like, no, I want to fast forward, but no, I kind of want to see how, and if there's anything to compliment Beast on, Mr. Beast, what he did before I was reading about him is before he even really started making YouTube videos, he spent like 5 years investigating and becoming like the world's greatest student of what created a watchable viral video. Uh-huh. And once he did his research, he started doing it and he did it. And yeah, so there is something behind this. Like he knows, or his team knows, or they've got it figured out how to get someone to continue to watch something. His most famous, the video that got him started, do you know what it was?
No.
It was him counting to 100,000. Now, to me, that right there, that's fascinating. I've not watched this video, but I think it's a 24-hour video. That's what put him on the map. So the fact that this guy could figure out how to get someone counting to 100,000 and make it where people want to watch and it becomes viral, he's figured out something about our psychology and what keeps us engaged. Now, has Survivor done that for two decades? Yes. Has any number of game shows? Yes. This one, I don't know. It seems to like dial that even stronger.
All right, let's talk about messaging. Now, I got to say up front, we recently did an episode on rating systems, Jeff, if anybody's interested, like what does the rating system tell you about a movie? This is clearly a PG kind of a thing. It's clean from a viewer standpoint. There's no language, there's no sex, there's no violence. So it doesn't have any of the earmarks, the classic earmarks of watch out when you're showing this to the children. It's clean from that standpoint.
Let me do add this though, because my daughters were coming in and out a few times. There were a few times where they clearly would bleep out a pretty rough word. And you know, that is almost as good as sometimes.
You're right. Because the mind fills that blank in. Okay. But here's what I want to say about whether it's clean or not. It would get a PG rating, but this is my overall thought about this whole series. Amoral, having no morality, is immoral. So if you say, and this gets said on this show a lot, oh, I know I lied, I'm just playing the game, man, that is a value system. And so Jimmy, Mr. Beast, is constantly just kind of, oh, wow. Oh, you said you would protect this person, but now you've betrayed them. Oh, interesting. There's no value judgment given on anything that anybody does to win anything. He is, it's just neutered of all valuation at all. So it is a completely amoral landscape. So that's sort of my main observation about the messaging. So they'll just kind of say interesting and they move on. So to me, the lack of any moral floor was kind of disturbing. And of course, I'm narrating this as I watch it with my daughter. Hey, this guy just told all six players, if you vote for me, I'll vote for you. Can he do that? No, it's impossible for him to do that. So what's going on here? Well, he's lying to everybody. Huh, what do we think about that? Do we think it's okay to win a game? I mean, we're in seventh grade basketball. Is it okay to lie and cheat? Well, we're just winning the game. Anyhow, that's my main point about messaging, is that by posing as no moral judgments, you are presenting a morality.
Yeah, I'll take a slight maybe exception there. Beast has no morality. The host, the show itself has no morality. It is amoral. You're right. It's, yeah. Look, the point is, I don't know, win a game. You win the money, you're good. But I do believe, and I remember this with, I think all these shows are like that. The host, who acts as, I think we could argue, the god figure of the game, is neutral, totally neutral. And yet, to me, the show is interesting because there are these moral moments between the contestants where they're going, you said you were going to do this and you didn't do it.
That's true.
And so though there isn't one from above, there is, and anytime that happened, we as viewers, especially as believers, we're pumping our fist going, yeah, that guy shouldn't win this. Or no, she shouldn't be allowed to get this because of this. So we feel those things. Maybe we inject our own morality into it as we go.
That's a great point, in that the show doesn't feed you a morality. It doesn't insist upon any morality. And yet we see morality coming out. This is what humans do, is that it's impossible for us to be amoral.
Yes, this is C.S. Lewis. Like Lewis, when he talks in Mere Christianity, he talks about like, well, there's not a God, you know, who knows what's right or wrong? No. You know what's right and wrong because you don't want it done to you. Yeah. And can we say 1,000 people, 980 pagans? Let's just say that.
Sure.
They've still got a morality there.
That's true.
And even the ones who are like, haha, I screwed you over. If someone did that to them, they'd be pretty darn upset. So there is written within all of us an understanding to some degree of what is right and what is wrong. Now, so my question would be, okay, so we're like, well, Beast and his crew, they don't have a morality. What if they did? Like, what would this show be like? Would it be better? Would it be worse? Would that ruin the show if he's going, you know, you did this?
Yeah, right.
Although I kind of wanted a moment, maybe like seven episodes in, wouldn't this have been interesting where he goes, hey, everyone, we've got a panel of people who've been watching all of this. We're about to get rid of the 20 of you who have lied the most. That would have been pretty interesting, right?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let me give an example of what you're talking about. I'm going to give away a little bit of one of the episodes. I sent you, Jeff, to episode 3, where everyone's in these white boxes and they have to make a hard decision. Okay. So when that happens, there are some, I think they're Iraqi brothers. They're brothers, two brothers with this white girl, and they mentally decimate this girl until she is crying while she is knocking herself out of the game for their benefit. These guys took glee at what was happening. These guys are manipulative, lying losers. Okay. So this is one of those moments when it is painful to watch this because it's so wrong what's happening. In a later game, there's this great kind of Latino kid. He's got long hair. And he's pitted against one of these brothers. And he says, I'm in this game to knock you out because you have no integrity. And then he did knock him out. And it was so kind of satisfying. But the moment, of course, passes without Jimmy celebrating it or anything. It just kind of comes and goes. And the whole landscape, because there's no morality, it ends up feeling antipathetic You know, the opposite of empathetic or compassionate. It feels like anything can happen here. And there's people stealing money in later issues from other people and later episodes. So, and whatever you do is okay with them. So anyways, I think it's a great observation of yours that that morality rises up from the people, whether you want it to or not.
So a number of years ago, I think there was one or two seasons where I was into Survivor. Like, I think it was before I was married. I was into it. And when I eventually bailed on it, it was because I had this realization. The only reason I like watching this is because I like judging people. I like to judge the decisions they're making and go, you did the right thing, you did the wrong thing, you're an idiot, you're a genius. I just so enjoyed judging them that I started to feel some conviction around that. Like, you only like watching this because from a safe distance, you're judging strangers and the decisions that they're making.
Great point.
Now, I think a show like this is no different. I'm at a point now where with my girls, I could almost see watching this because of that very thing. Like, it's an no different than reading a novel and going, let's see what this character did here. Is that a good thing? Is that not a good thing? There are a billion, like you said, there's a billion opportunities to turn to your kid and go, is that the kind of thing we would do? Yeah, but there's so much money riding on it. I know. But would we still give up?
Right.
And don't we like this guy? Because he's going, look, it doesn't matter how much money you're offering me. I gave my word to these people.
Right.
You're like, I am cheering that guy on.
Right.
So there's still that little bit of judgment, but I could see it argued both ways. One, this is an unhealthy thing to do. The other, it can be a healthy thing to do because it helps shore up what we believe to be true and what we believe to be vile and what we don't want in another human.
Mm. My last comment about messaging is really has to do with the way that we consume it as viewers, because I was thinking of, I'm thinking of a high schooler watching 10 episodes, which I guess is maybe 12 to 15 hours of content watching these people. Just consider for a second, we're watching people who every one of these 1,000 people were willing to take sort of 3 weeks of their lives to be on a game show. Now, we did that, Jeff. You and I have done that.
We were on a game show.
We've been on a game show. You lived in LA for a while. You were in film school. We've done the game show thing. You know why? We were available.
How long did it take? How long did it take out of our busy schedules?
I don't know. Did it take 2 hours or something?
Yeah. Well, you know what? We also did a little pre-work studying. So let's round it up to four.
Okay,
took 4 hours.
So these are people who they've got room in their lives to be on this show. So these people are not like impressive success stories, these people. As an example, one kid made it very close to the end and he was asked, what would he do if he won $5 million? And his answer was, he would buy an RV and play guitar while hanging out with his friends. So that's not worth $5 million. You'd have some left over. And now I don't hate him for being 25. I've been that. I've been the guy that doesn't have any appreciation for what money is or what how life works. My concern, I have to throw this out during the messaging talk, is I worry about high schoolers watching these people and thinking this is what some kind of success looks like. I want to be a person who's in that kind of situation. This isn't real, and these aren't people who are living lives successfully. I know that that makes me sound like an old guy and like I'm so out of touch, but I have to say there are kids in my carpool that I drive now who think this way because they think that what they see on their Instagram feed and the Beast games, this is what I want to be. And that troubles me. I don't know what else to say. I'm not telling you can't watch this show. I'm just telling you that troubles me. Does that make me sound like an idiot?
No. So I think a couple things on that. One, this show is like jury duty. The only people who serve on a jury are the ones who are too stupid to get out of jury duty. The only people on this show are the kind of people who would want to give up 3 weeks of their life because they really don't have anything else going on.
Yeah.
So right away, you've got a really weird sample set of these people. So that's one. Number two, I think what you're getting to is, you know, it's a cliche now, but they say when you ask a teenager, what do you want to be when you grow up? The answer is an influencer or one of these. What it is it's intimating that the easy way is the best way. So you'll hear these stories from these people. I'm just hoping to, you know, get the money so I can do this, this, and this. And as I'm watching, I'm thinking, or you get a job.
Right. Well, there were so many people that said, I need to pay off debt.
Yes.
Get a job. That a job would really help you.
Now, granted, would any of us turn down an opportunity to win the lot? Okay, that's fine. I get it. There's sort of like a lotto kind of thing. And yes, it's the fun of this and all that. But it was still a little like this was what it was implied. The only way that I can accomplish what I want is to win the Beast Games.
Right, right.
So that leads to a couple of things. One is this show is built on, again, I don't want to sound like an old crusty man. This show is built on greed. It's built on greed. And maybe greed is almost too strong a word, but it is this, you sense this lust after the money. Yeah. You see people rolling around in piles of cash at certain points. True. That to me is a little like, ugh. And just this drive for it. Coupled with that, I don't know if this is messaging or what, but they really leaned into the sob stories a lot. And that I found really manipulative and that made me feel uncomfortable. And it made me think of, there was a book written, I think in the early 80s by Stephen King under the name Richard Bachman. It's called The Running Man. And it was prescient to some degree because it was about a game show in the future, this post-apocalyptic future, and everyone wants to watch as these people are in this gladiator type game across a city and people are getting killed. And the one who makes it to the end is going to get enough money to feed their family. So they made a movie of this with Arnold Schwarzenegger, not very good. They're remaking it with a big actor. It's going to be a big deal when it comes out. This reminded me of The Running Man a little. And I'm watching this. And whenever they would do the sob story, I just felt weird. I felt like, don't do this. Now you're putting, this is my problem. Now you're putting too much weight on what I think we could agree could be a fun and silly show. Now you've got this weird combo here that's very unhealthy.
Yeah.
I just didn't like feeling like that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about family fit. So I don't think I would let my six-year-old watch this unsupervised, but I would probably let my 10-year-old watch it. It's not the most morally edifying content out there, as we've described, but it's also not wildly corrosive. We've probably spent about 34 more minutes thinking about this than anybody that watches this show. They just watch... I don't know. Watch. Oh, that guy didn't win. Oh, that guy. Oh, he's got some money. Oh, interesting. Next show. So it could be a fun family watch for an hour on a Saturday night. I have my misgivings, but I'd give the Beast Games 3 out of 5 Panthers with eye makeup. That's where I stand on family fit. What do you think?
I watched one episode with my 12-year-old and she was obviously intrigued. She's never seen anything like this. I think it's a discussion point, you know, as you go to talk about those morality things. Could someone come out of this going, situational ethics? I mean, that's really the question.
Sure.
Are my ethics, it's just a game. Well, at what point, where is that line? Well, it's just a job. It's just can I cheat on my taxes? That kind of thing. I think there's conversations to be had. I think this show is probably... it's funny. I think it could appeal to boys because there is a real kind of boy element to it in a lot of ways, but it also could appeal to girls because, and I'm grossly oversimplifying here, because it's a social element. This show is both built on these really weird challenges, but also the social dynamics.
Yes.
And I really think it's the social dynamics. I know with Survivor, I didn't care about how far could you throw a punji stick. I cared about how this person related to this person. and the triangulation that goes on.
Right.
There's a lot of draw there about the social appeal here.
In conclusion, Beast Games is technically appropriate for the family, but it's not the kind of show that reinforces any kind of Christian morality or even fair play. If you want to teach your children lessons about competition and teamwork through viewing, show them Disney's McFarland USA. That's a recent movie that my family loves. You could even show them King Richard, which is about the Williams sisters, Serena and Venus Williams, the hard work that it takes to become a winner, or another Disney favorite, Miracle. We will be reviewing good-hearted, life-affirming movies like this as we go on Rocket Pop Reviews.
Thanks for listening to Rocket Pop Reviews. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. See you next time for another family-friendly review.